You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 451 of Locked On Raptors for Thursday, January 17th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors, where you can find links to every single episode of the podcast. Also, make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network, which has team-focused shows for all 30 NBA teams. We've got Locked On Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd going strong, and we've got Locked On NBA Daily with a bunch of different hosts from across the network chipping in there. Today's episode with David Locke featured Ben Golliver, who's a weekly contributor over there from the Washington Post, and then also Sam Amick is a weekly contributor as well. He's from The Athletic, of course, and it's just like constant content just being shoveled into your feed like coal into a fire on the Locked On Podcast Network. So make sure you're checking it out and finding a show or shows or hosts that you want to subscribe to and rate and review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all the places you get your podcasts. Doing that supports them. It's a great way to help with the rankings and algorithms and making the shows more visible and collecting new listeners, just because people, you know, will scroll through their top charts and say, hey, I want to listen to that podcast. It's about my favorite basketball team and maybe I haven't come across it before. That is why we ask you to do rankings and reviews, and it's very, very helpful, and I very much appreciate it. And we're doing great with the rankings and reviews on Locked On Raptors, and let's keep it going. And I very much appreciate anyone who's taken the time to do it. All right, let's get to today's show. It's just me going solo today to talk about the very dumb and annoying game that happened on Wednesday night. The Raptors lost to the Boston Celtics 117-108. The dastardly Boston Celtics. This was a entertaining game, a frustrating game, a game in which there was some good things to pull, I think, from the Raptors side of things, but also some red flags about the potential matchup with Boston in the playoff series. And, you know, I'm sure people will ascribe grand meaning to this game after a one-off, because that's what we do. Every day is just like a new round of takes that comes out to talk about what happened in big matchups. I don't think this game really changes how I felt about the Raptors and Celtics as like a matchup altogether. I think a lot of it's going to come down to home court. I think a lot of it is going to come down to Kawhi Leonard being the best player on the floor. And I think it's very much a toss-up. And, you know, we can kind of get into some of the good and bad that happened from this game. What I'm going to do with today's show is just like a pros and cons list, I guess, of the game. I'll go through some good stuff that I noticed, some bad stuff that I noticed, and just kind of go back and forth to give a little bit of balance so we're not freaking out. We're not losing our minds over, you know, the thing that was bad that happened, because there's probably be a good thing that happened in the game to balance it out. So let's start with good, then we'll get to some bad, and we'll just kind of let this thing meander on. First up, I guess the thing that I'm most encouraged by, and the thing that continued to happen in this game, though to a lesser extent than it did in the first two Raptors-Celtics games, is that the Raptors starters continue to slap the shit out of the Boston Celtics, whatever lineup they're up against. They've been awesome so far against the Celtics. Serge Ibaka at center, he had a really nice game last night. He had 22-10 on 10-21. Missed all of his threes, but he was really effective. And, you know, the Celtics are kind of doing what the Bucks did, I think, where they're kind of just like, all right, Serge, go beat us. Give us your looks and see what you can do with them. And Serge has done a really good job of, you know, connecting on the looks that he's given, and I think he was great last night. For the most part, kind of disappeared in the fourth quarter a little bit, but a lot of things disappeared in the fourth quarter, as we'll get to in some of the cons that happened in the game. But with Ibaka at center, like, that lineup's just been so, so good this season against Boston, and that gives me a lot of hope, because that's going to be a lineup that gets a lot of run in a Boston series, or in any series, really. We've seen Nurse in many games this season kind of roll it out there for, you know, 20, 25 minutes, I think 26 against the Warriors in one game that lineup was out there. Like, that is a lineup that Nurse is going to ride, and for good reason. It's extremely good and fits together really nicely. And even after last night, so last night the Raptors offensive rating against the starters offensive rating against Boston was like 123, defensive rating about 119, but that brings their total over three games in 54 minutes. The Raptors have 112.1 offensive rating against the Celtics and a 91.4 defensive rating, the starters do, against Boston so far in three games, 54 minutes once again. So, like, not a crazy huge sample, but it is by far the most used Raptors lineup against the Celtics this season, and accounts for, you know, more than a third of their minutes against the Celtics in any given game. When you do all the math of the three games played, like, that, it's a very counted on lineup for Nick Nurse. And, you know, there's, again, good reason for it. They're really good, and they match up really well against Boston, I think. You know, Boston doesn't have a lot of dudes that can throw a Kawhi. He's always going to be a matchup problem. But I also think, like, Serge and Al Horford is kind of a neutral thing this season. You could even argue Serge has been a little bit better. Pascal Siakam against Marcus Morris, I think, is, like, a really fun, interesting sort of, you know, conflict of styles. But I think Pascal's kind of got the edge there. Kyle Lowry and Kyrie Irving has always been a really fun matchup. Obviously, Kyrie's incredible. And then Marcus Smart is, like, not much of an offensive player. Danny Green kind of gives what Marcus Smart does while also being a good shooter. And like, it's just a good matchup for the Raptors to throw against the Boston starters. And it's been really good. Like I said, a plus 20.7 net rating in 54 minutes is nothing to sneeze at. Still not a great sample size in terms of size, you know, in the grand scheme of things, but in a three game sample against one team, it's really encouraging and a really great starting point for the Raptors to have. So that's where I think I come down. Like, even last night when I think it was in the fourth quarter. Yeah, the fourth quarter, the starters were on the court for most of that crunch time period, and the Celtics absolutely blitzed the Raptors, and we'll get to that in a second. But like, even when they got blitzed at the end of the game, they still ended up being like a plus four net rating in the game, which is great, and kind of feeds into what, like, it didn't happen, but I had just, like, anytime the starters were on the court yesterday, I just kind of, like, thought, hey, the run's going to happen here, and they're going to, you know, go and make a lead and bring it back. And it didn't happen in the second quarter. Boston had a great second quarter against whatever lineup was out there. But in the third quarter, the starters were fantastic and got the Raptors back in the game and made a pretty big comeback, a double-digit comeback from being down 11 at the end of the third. They brought it back to within four, very much within striking distance, and they were awesome. And even before the crunch time wheels fell off, they were doing some really good things, too, in the fourth quarter. So that is a definite pro of last night's game, is the starters continued to be very good. And even with it not being probably their worst game this season against Boston as a lineup, they still maintain a plus 20.7 net rating against Boston. That is really good. And that's definitely pro number one. Let's go to bad thing number one. I think probably is the late play calling that you have to kind of, you know, zero in here. It was really rough at the end of the game. The Raptors, for some reason, just kind of forgot what they were doing and had a shot clock violation. They had a really long Kyle Lowry three-point attempt that was, like, you know, terribly short, almost went air and just kind of, you know, nicked off the front of the rim. And after that, the Celtics go down. There's a Jason Tatum open three. There's a Al Horford open three. I think Kyrie Irving had an and one at some point mixed in there as well. And it was kind of the Raptors, once again, kind of falling in love too much with just, like, give the ball to Kawhi and have him do stuff. And in fairness to Kawhi, he did stuff. He was awesome in this game. He had 33 on 10 of 19. He had the mean mug on the excellent and one that he picked up, I think, through Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris at the end of the game. And that felt like really a place where the Raptors had kind of established that they were going to win the game until things kind of fell apart in the last couple minutes. But yeah, the late play calling was rough. There was a timeout, I think, with about a minute 40 left, and like, the play out of it ended up being like Danny Green running a pick and roll with Kawhi, and Danny Green launching a mid-range pull-up jumper that completely clanked off the backboard and then off rim and out. Like, that is just not good play calling, and we've seen this. It's been bizarre. We saw it in the Wizards game on Sunday. The 6.8 seconds left, they throw it in the backcourt for Kyle, and he comes up, runs a pick and roll, gets a switch with a huge dude on him, and he launches a three over him, and they didn't need a three to win. Instead of, like, trying to blow by a guy or just, like, you know, saving some time by not throwing into the backcourt all the way, like, it just didn't make a lot of sense to me the way they managed the end of that game. I know a lot of times, and I've talked about the virtues of just, like, going ISO and saying, hey, Kawhi, go do a thing and score some buckets. But, like, last night just was not, it wasn't working. A, Marcus Smart was doing a great job on Kawhi Leonard, and, like, Marcus Smart is so exhausting to watch, but, like, he obviously is a fantastic defender, even though he's got, like, you know, maybe Kawhi's got, like, 4 or 5 inches on Smart. Like, it doesn't matter. Smart's an incredible defender, does not lose position whatsoever, is not bullied around by Kawhi in the way that most defenders are by him. And early in the game, the Raptors were doing some smart stuff where they were doing the little 1-2 pick and rolls, I guess 1-3 pick and rolls with Kawhi, the way they would used to do with Kyle and DeMar, to try to get Smart off of Kawhi with switches, because the Celtics are very happy to switch at all times. And there was, like, one or two plays where they would run that and they'd get Marcus Morris on Kawhi, and Morris just does not have the foot speed or the wits to stick with Kawhi. And Kawhi got a couple open threes out of it. There was one where I think, yeah, like Kyle or some, or maybe Pascal ran the screen on Smart, and you know, Morris switched on, but was really slow to switch on to Kawhi, and he just popped a three, and it was great. And he did it again, I think, in the fourth quarter. And at the end of the game, there was one ISO where, you know, Kawhi had Marcus Smart on him. They completely cleared it out. They didn't run a screen to try to, you know, open things up. And, you know, obviously there's problems when you invite screeners. And this was a problem in the game against Boston at the end of the game in November, where people were concerned that there was just an ISO that they ran for Kawhi. They didn't run anything to try to get any action or sort of movement towards the basket from anybody or anything like that. It was just, you know, Kawhi straight up ISOing somebody, I think Marcus Morris at the time. And for me, like, I'll take that anytime. But against Marcus Smart, who's a different beast, and just the way the Raptors offense had kind of stagnated, like, give me a little bit of extra action out there. The way you have Pascal Siakam on the court, and we'll get to a pro of his from this game as well, like, with Pascal on the court, like, you can afford to, like, run a screen with Pascal to try to get a switch and just have, you know, a more favorable matchup for Kawhi. They just didn't do that at all in this game. And then there were a couple plays where Danny Green had to bail them out. He did bail them out at one point, I think, the tied at 106 with, like, a turnaround jumper over Smart that was insanely lucky that it went in. But other than that, it was just rough play calling or lack of play calling entirely. And, you know, I've praised Nick Nurse. I think he's done a really good job of managing the sort of the transition to playing a smaller style and having Jonas and Ibaka sort of, you know, split the minutes at center. That's not an easy thing to sell your team on or sell your players on, to just take away starters' minutes from a guy and totally change a guy's role, you know, a couple guys' roles from what they've been used to for years. And I think Nick Nurse has done a really good job at that. And I think he's done a good job of just, like, sort of, you know, letting the team play. He's not getting in the way too much, which is nice. And maybe that's kind of become a bit of a thing where he's doing it too much late in games as well, where he's just like, all right, Kawhi, go do your thing. I'm not going to get in the way and sort of drop anything intricate. I wish he would, though. I wish he would kind of get a little bit more creative late in these games. If there's a big criticism of Nick Nurse right now, is that the play calling late in games has not been very good. And, like, it's hard to get that upset because the Raptors have still been very good in crunch time, and last night was a disaster. So last night, the Raps were a plus 7.9. Going into last night, they were a plus 7.9 in 93 clutch minutes. Now, after last night, where they were outscored, they were a literal negative 100 net rating in crunch time last night in four crunch time minutes. They're now a plus 3.3 in 97 minutes, so, like, a pretty huge hit to their overall net rating. But, you know, last night is a very much an outlier game in that, and for the most part, they've been good and won games, especially with defense late in games, and they've been able to get enough out of Kawhi or Pascal or Serge or whoever it's been that's gotten big buckets. Danny Green, obviously, with a couple game winners as well against Miami and Orlando. Like, they've gotten enough offense to make it work, and their defense has been so stout. It just wasn't last night. The defense was not getting back, tracking back to stop guys in transition, and it just kind of all fell to shit, and it began with bad play calling that was leading to long rebounds leaking out, and the Celtics were just running and carving up the Raptors. And I wish we could see a little bit more in terms of just, like, creative half-court stuff from Nick Nurse on those, you know, late timeout plays that, you know, it's just, you know, Dwayne Casey got a lot of crap for not being great, you know, as a micromanager late in games, but he drew up some really good out-of-bounds stuff and really good sideline stuff that worked out of timeouts pretty well. The Raptors were always near the top of the league in out-of-timeout plays, and it feels like this season it's fallen off a little bit. And, like, I'm not saying Nurse can't get better at that. I'm very much of the mind that coaches can get better and improve, and he's still a rookie coach. Like, it's going to take some time. That's fine. That was always the risk, I guess, of bringing in Kawhi with a rookie coach, but, you know, still, like, I think, you know, having this season be so important, like, it's not like Nick Nurse is not cut out for this job. I think he very much is. It's just, he's done some stuff late in games where it's just been very rudimentary and not enough for defense to have to think to guard it. And, like, that's all I ask. Just make a defense think a little bit, even if it is just an extra screen that you're running to try to get a switch. Even if you don't get the switch, even if the team doesn't really abide by what you want to do, at least try it. And that's what the Raptors have not done of late or at all this season late in games. And I would like to see that maybe change around a little bit. And so that's the biggest negative for me from last night's game, was just the crunch time late game play calling was bad. Boston didn't even have to call plays, really. They were just getting rebounds, running out, and just cooking. Also, Kyrie made some absurd shots, because that's what Kyrie does. Marcus Smart made a pull-up three at some point in the fourth quarter, too. That's going to happen sometimes. He had 5 points in the night. Those 3 points were a backbreaker, and feel like they were worth way more than 3 points. A bit of a struggle bag of a game late on for the Raptors, though. Like, there was some good stuff as well leading into that. I mean, let's get back to the good stuff, I suppose. All right, so pro number two I guess building off of that, I thought the passing the Raptors were doing last night was really impressive. Like, in particular, Pascal Siakam and Kyle Lowry. This is just a small thing and like just sort of a thing that I enjoyed watching about the game. I'm not sure how much it actually affected the winning. There were some misses, there were some makes off of them, but it was really cool to see Kyle just throwing gorgeous kind of peak early season Kyle pocket passes, in particular to guys like Serge. I mean, there was one pass he made to Serge with his like left hand that was like totally perfectly placed to a place where only Serge could catch it. I think Serge turned around and missed it, or he might have made the shot. I can't remember. I think in the third quarter, maybe the second quarter. It's kind of all vague in my brain right now. I think it was the second quarter. Either way, just like gorgeous passing from Kyle. He's a ridiculous passer. He's done a fantastic job of it all season, and I thought Kyle, even though he had just 10 points on 3 of 10 shooting and missed a big three late, like, I thought he was awesome in this game and did a lot of very Kyle Lowry-y things. I'm glad the Raptors are sitting him tonight. He took a knock to the face last night and a couple falls here and there that, like, I just wish they would put him in bubble wrap, to be honest. But I do think he was really impressive last night, and that was good to see. This was a strange game. Like, you know, Pascal was, you know, not his best game offensively, just 3 of 6, but he had 7 assists, and I think he kind of took the space the Celtics were giving him and used that to do good things, and he created 7 assists out of it. Some gorgeous passes to Ibaka in this game, and he had a really great pass, I think, on the roll in a pick-and-roll situation. He found Danny Green in the corner for three, just like, mwah, chef's kiss stuff, beautiful. And for Siakam to be able to have 7 assists on a night where his offense just wasn't really there, or he wasn't really called on all that much, I thought it was really, really great to see. And I hope we see him more, and I think we will, because he's a really smart player and he's a really good passer. And I think the next natural evolution of his offensive game is taking the space teams are giving him when he's, you know, spotting up around the perimeter and using that space as a runway to create for other guys. And he did that last night to great effect. And yeah, this was a game where, you know, it wasn't really, it was billed as like this game of the two deepest teams in the East, and it's kind of been a myth for both of these teams this season that they've been extremely deep, because, like, yes, the Celtics have gotten unexpected contributions from, like, Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart in the starting five, but, like, Jaylen Brown's been terrible, and Jaylen Brown last night, this is another pro, I suppose, if you're a Raptors fan, like, Jaylen Brown is not very good right now. He's just, like, a negative, like, actively negative offensive player. He was 2 of 9 last night, didn't really notice him all that much, and, like, when he's on the court, that's not a bad thing. You want him on the court at this point. He's not very good. Terry Rozier was also kind of ineffective. And, you know, even Marcus Morris had a rough game, 2 of 9 as well. This was very much like the stars of the team kind of carrying the day for both squads. And honestly, if you're stacking up the Raptors stars against Boston's, obviously Boston might have a little bit more like even, you know, high level talent between Kyrie, Horford, and Gordon Hayward. But like Kawhi, I'll take Kawhi against those three any day. Kawhi is incredible, man. And he was awesome last night. And I will take the Raptors' top-tier talent against the Celtics' top-tier talent. The whole thing before the season with the was that the Celtics were going to have these 6 or 7 or 8 guys who were all better than the second or third best guys on most teams they played. And that might be true still, but I do think Siakam has kind of made a leap that I wasn't expecting, and you can throw him in that mix of like second-tier guys on both of these teams. I'm not sure where he would rank in like a ranking of the players in the series or the matchup, but he's really high. And Kawhi is just, I think, as great as Kyrie was last night, I think Kawhi's just another level beyond that, and I'll take the Raptors' heads up with the talent, and, you know, hoping that the bench comes around later, you know, that's, I guess, the next thing you're hoping for. But, yeah, the way the Raptors' best players played in this one, I thought was pretty encouraging. It was nice to see Danny Green, though he was only 6 of 15, 3 of 8 from deep. I thought he had a nice game overall, and, yeah, like, I just, the starters weren't the problem in this game by any means. That is for sure. All right, let's get to another con from this one. I guess we can go to the bench. We did the stuff about the play calling late in the game, but the bench was also a sore spot in this one. Fred VanVleet and DeLon Wright, man. Like, ugh. Both combined for 0 points, 2 assists, both on Fred's part. Actually, DeLon was, you know, borderline club trillion in this game, aside from a couple field goal attempts, and he was awful. Like, he just was not noticeable. Neither was Fred, and when those two aren't good, there's just not enough creation in that second unit, although Norm Powell had a nice game. He, you know, kind of was able to create some offense for himself on that second unit, and kind of, in the third quarter at least, at the end of the third, start of the fourth, really kind of kept the Raptors within shouting distance because he was so good playing in sort of mixed starter bench units. The Raptors had to mix quite a bit last night just because OG was out, and he's going to miss again on Thursday against Phoenix. But yeah, I thought the bench was really ineffectual for the most part, and that is something that needs to be figured out, obviously. But if people who are like really sounding alarm bells right now, A, like, this is probably the worst we'll ever see DeLon and Fred at least play together in the same game. And really, I don't know if they've played worse games this season in general, just the two of them. They were both awful. This is not the norm for them. I do think the bench still has a lot of time to figure it out. And there's a lot of reason to believe that it could, because as a friend of the show, Anthony Doyle, pointed out today on Twitter, the bench unit that you would assume once everyone's healthy is going to be the Raptors' go-to five-man bench unit, you would think it's going to be DeLon Wright, Fred VanVleet, Norm Powell, OG, and Jonas Valanciunas on most nights, unless Jonas is starting for whatever matchup reason. But let's assume that's just going to be the bench unit they're going to ride most nights. That should be a pretty decent lineup. Jonas provides some offense. There's good defense up and down. There's switchability. There's length. Norm is a bit of extra dynamism to go next to VanVleet and Wright if those two are a little bit off in terms of their creation. And DeLon is, like, pretty good as a creator. Fred can be a good creator when he's not overdoing it and dribbling the ball into the ground. Like, there's some potential for some decent offense, but mostly really good defense in that lineup, I think. And, like, even if it's not as good as last year's bench mob, which it probably won't be, because last year's bench mob was a complete anomaly among bench units in NBA history, really, I still think there's a reason to believe that that second unit won't, like, give away games, and it won't be on the starters every time to come in and get the lead back after the bench has pissed it away. And that lineup that I referenced and that Anthony referenced, that lineup has played 0 minutes together this season. It has not gotten a second of court time together, and we still need to see if that's going to work. Obviously, Jonas is going to be back in a few weeks still, and it's going to take some time to get those guys back and get that lineup together. And obviously, with all the other injuries they've dealt with, it may never be that they have all those guys available. That's just the NBA. You're not healthy all the time, and you're rarely ever healthy for even, like, short stretches, because guys get dinged up and miss games, and it's just unpredictable that way, obviously. But if you do get healthy and you get to play that lineup together, there's reason to believe that it'll be okay, or, like, you know, a passable bench unit. And just, like, that's all the Raptors really need right now is a passable bench unit, because the starters are so good, particularly against Boston. Like, the bench just needs to be okay. It just can't be an active, you know, huge negative all the time. And I think eventually those guys are going to come back around, and we'll be able to see them be good and, you know, get some run together and at least get some data on whether or not they're good or not. And then you can kind of revisit the staggering thing, which last night I'm kind of bummed we didn't see. If there's another con, again, Nick Nurse just, like, not managing with, like, the kind of urgency you would want to see from a game against Boston. Like, I get it. In a game against, like, the Magic or the Bulls or whatever, like, you want to roll out a five-man bench unit, fine, I don't give a shit. They suck, and you're going to be fine no matter what, most likely. But against Boston, where I guess there's sort of standings considerations on the line, a little bit. Like, there's not crazy considerations, because the Raptors still have five games on the Celtics in the loss column, and that's going to be a lot to make up over the last 35 or so games of the season. But, like, there's still, like, there's a psychological thing here, right? You want to beat Boston. You don't want Boston to feel themselves. You don't want Boston to feel good about their matchup against you. And, you know, Boston is different at home. Maybe they doesn't matter. Maybe it was just a home game and it doesn't matter at all. And, like, this game won't have any bearing on how they view the matchup against Toronto. But, like, you don't want to give them any sort of edge at all. And it just felt like Nurse was not really treating this game the way a high leverage game probably should be treated. He wasn't staggering his stars. He took out both Kyle and Kawhi late in the third quarter, and ran just pretty much full bench units mixed with, like, Pascal or Danny Green into the fourth quarter, despite the really bad struggles from both VanVleet and DeLon Wright. And, like, I just thought there could have been more room for staggering in this game in particular. And it's going to be kind of what happens with the bench unit over the next little while is going to really determine whether or not staggering is just part of the game flow for Nick Nurse every game. And, like, I'm not saying he should be doing it every night just yet, but, man, last night really could have used it, I think, because of how, you know, porous the bench was and because of how bad VanVleet and Wright were. Like, that's 30 minutes you're never getting back, the 30 combined minutes those two played last night. And 30 combined minutes they played probably without Kyle on the floor for most of it, if I go back and look. Which, you know, Kyle just kind of raises the tide of everybody, man. He makes everybody better, even when he's not having a great game himself. He makes it all better. He makes the bench good. He makes the bench passable, at the very least. And, you know, last night, I think they really could have used that. Like, really, really could have used that. And they just, they didn't bust it out. So that's disappointing, I suppose. But, yeah, the bench concerns, we'll see, I guess, how it all transpires as guys come back and they get healthy and we get more data. It's still too early to say, oh, the bench is terrible and it's not going to work out and all this stuff. Like, we still haven't seen the prime bench unit together at all this season. So give it some time. Back to some pros for the Raptors. Just some minor matchup stuff. I think the Raptors can really take it to Jason Tatum. I think Jason Tatum is very bad at defense. There was a couple plays where I think it was Danny Green drove by him pretty willy-nilly. You know, they don't even dare put Jason Tatum on Kawhi Leonard. And so I think in a playoff series, like, he's going to be a guy you can probably target a little bit and try to really take it to. Maybe they didn't try to do it last night just because they don't want to sort of expose that weakness too much or whatever. But I do think Jason Tatum, if you're looking at that starting five, is probably the weak link defensively. Marcus Morris has been really good defensively again this year too, but even last night, still, you know, kind of slow with some decision-making, as I mentioned, with a couple of those Kawhi threes that he was switched onto him for. And, like, I'm not terrified, really, of Marcus Morris. And it's funny, last night they were mentioning on the broadcast that, you know, there's no rim protection on Boston, which is kind of true. I mean, Aaron Baines is kind of okay in there, and, like, Al Horford is a smart defender. I don't know if he's, like, an imposing rim protector that you're scared of, though. And we've seen in the past the Raptors really take advantage of the lack of, you know, just like stout sheer rim protection that the Celtics offer. And so I wonder if maybe that's something the Raptors will sort of build their game plan around, just sort of attacking and taking it to the hoop. And, you know, they did it really well last night. I thought, like, there was, you know, not much in the way of resistance when guys would carve in there. Serge Ibaka had his way around the rim. He had 5 offensive rebounds in this game. And you can kind of press that size advantage. The Raptors are huge, and they're bigger than the Boston is. So, like, again, individual matchup stuff. I think the Raptors are probably pretty okay with Boston, and, like, the home court advantage really seems like a very real thing for Boston this season. They're 16-5 at home, making them 10-13 on the road, and they just play differently. They play with a different energy. Yes, the crowd, whatever, like, the crowd's fun. I don't know what it is. Maybe, yeah, it is just, like, Boston's crowd revs them up, but I do think you know, there is a lot of matchup stuff there. Like, even Kawhi last night, even with how good Marcus Smart was on him at times, there's not really anyone on Boston that can really stop him. And I think in a pinch, if you really wanted to try, you could probably try to throw Kawhi on Kyrie Irving and try to stop him and slow him down and just use that defensive resource. But at the same time, I think, you know, Danny Green's pretty good against Kyrie. I think there's more options. The Raptors have more options defensively to throw against Kyrie than they have to throw against Kawhi, if that makes any sense. If, you know, I think that's what I'm trying to get across here. So, yeah, it's just the matchup, it was bad last night. It looked rough, and maybe you trust the coach, Brad Stevens, a little bit more than you trust Nick Nurse, and maybe that's a big matchup disadvantage the Raptors have. But I think it's too early to say whether Nick Nurse is going to be good at that or not in the micro of a close game. But I do think the on-court matchup, the Raptors still have a lot of advantages they can press, and especially when Valanciunas is in. Like, Valanciunas has always been pretty good against Boston. He's always been good against Horford. Yes, there are some defensive liabilities that you are concerned with there, but he's always been kind of a monster against Boston. So the matchup does not really concern me the way I think some people might, you know, assume after watching last night's game. It's still very much a toss-up series, man. Like, it's very, very close. It might come down to home court, but the Raptors are in a pretty good spot to have home court in a potential series with Boston. Hey, maybe they won't even get them. Maybe Boston loses in the first round to Philly in the 4-5 matchup. I'd be surprised by that, but, you know, maybe that happens. Maybe the Raptors fall down to 2 and they get the Pacers in the second round or something like that. Whatever it is, we're going to be paying a lot of attention to seeds because, like, Boston is very good, and I wouldn't want to play them in a series by any means because of the, you know, the energy they have at home and just sort of, I guess, the experience, the battle-testedness they have from last year's run and from Kyrie going to finals and all this shit. Like, they're very good and very scary, but I still think we saw last night some of the matchup advantages the Raptors can press against them, and we still haven't even seen a full, healthy Raptors roster, and I think, you know, we've talked about the size advantage the Raptors have. I think the lineup that they've thrown out and kind of tested a couple times, especially against the Wizards on Sunday, where they throw out Kawhi is the 2 next to OG, Pascal, and Ibaka. Like, that could be a lineup where you really sort of overwhelm Boston with size and physicality and defense and switchability, and Boston doesn't have a lot of size to counter with it. Maybe they make a trade for someone big. I don't know. But, you know, the Raptors feel like they're a bit more of like a burly, difficult team to go against than Boston is. As good as Boston is defensively, they were fantastic yesterday defensively late in the game. Got to give them some credit for how that all transpired at the end. Like, it was great. You know, the Raptors didn't do much in terms of, like, innovation and trying to get the Celtics on their toes defensively or on their heels, but also Boston was very sound, and it was really just kind of, like, ganging up to block shots. I think, like, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown all chipped in with blocks, you know, in transition or around the basket. They were great. You know, Hayward had a block. Brown had a block. They, you know, it was a a really good performance from them. There's no denying that, but I still think the Raptors probably in a matchup situation are not so, you know, hard up for ways to sort of take it to Boston. I think, you know, it's easy to take last night's game and be concerned by it, but I think there's lots of positive to look at in the matchup realm of things as well. Any more cons? I don't know. Like, there's some, I suppose. Like, the Kyrie being unstoppable and being ridiculous, that's a problem for sure. He's really good, and I'm not sure Kyle is really equipped to guard him. But again, I think you could sort of come up with some solutions that way. Throw Danny on him, throw Kawhi on him, and kind of, you know, just see if that works for, you know, possessions here and there. Throw different looks at him, just put him on his heels. I think even Ibaka had a couple possessions last night where Ibaka did pretty well, switched on to him late in the game. Actually, one of Kyrie's crunch time shots was like a ridiculous pull-up, but Ibaka did a fantastic job of staying in front of him and forcing a tough mid-range jumper falling away that Kyrie hit because he's insane. But, you know, it was a pretty adequate and admirable showing from Ibaka on that possession in particular. And, yeah, like, obviously it's going to be a problem if the Celtics get up to full speed and Hayward and Horford are kind of back where you thought they were going to be and the Celtics are as deep as you thought they were going to be. But like I said earlier, they're not really playing with the same depth that they have on paper because a lot of guys aren't really, you know, being all that effectual. Mostly Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier are just kind of like, blah, whatever, they're fine. And like Jason Tatum has been up and down this season, his efficiency is down, whatever. He's not like the second coming of, you know, Kobe that people thought he was going to be. Although the second coming of Kobe would probably behoove the Raptors because Kobe sucked. But anyway, I'm going to wrap it there. I don't think I have anything else to say about this game. The Raptors didn't play very well. At least in crunch time, they played well for most of the game, I thought. And I saw some takes like, oh, this is a horrible loss. Like, it's a fine loss. It's in Boston. You're not supposed to win in Boston. It's tough to win there. The fact that you were in it till the end kind of, you know, it's maybe moral victory bullshit, but it kind of, hey, they played well and they had a chance and they coughed it up late, but their track record this season has not been one of being bad in crunch time. It's been one of being very good and efficient and very good at defense. And I think I'll take the full season sample over a one game off where it was really, really bad. Where it was really bad. So, yeah, that's all I got. Sorry if this was rambly and disjointed, but I don't know. This game deserved a lot of talking, I guess. There's lots of talk in the brain to get out about this game. That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will talk to you on Friday. I'm going to do an episode with our pal Dharma Nayak. We're going to talk about tonight's Raptors-Suns game. Just the lit-ass game it should be with Kyle and Kawhi and JV and OG all missing the game for the Raptors. They're still 9-point favorites, apparently, which is hilarious. So we'll talk about that game tomorrow with Dharma Nayak. And Patreon podcast coming up. I will be out, I think, on Saturday morning, probably. Depends if I get some time to edit it on Friday. But myself and Joey Cash, Joseph Cacharo from The Score, are going to be doing a podcast all about Andrea Bargnani, which should be a delight. I think I'll also have a What Didn't Suck up on Raptors HQ for this Celtics loss sometime tomorrow, so make sure you stay tuned for that as well. And yeah, that's it. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will talk to you next time on Locked on Raptors.